Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert, coming to you this time from my home recording studio in Brooklyn, New York. ISF Managing Director Steve Durbin is, for the very first time, not in the studio with me today. Instead, Steve will join me in conversation from his home outside of London. We wanted to bring you a conversation today about best practices for working from home, a topic with global relevance as workforces are suddenly adjusting to working with greater independence, in greater isolation, and hopefully with greater interconnectedness than ever before. The entire world has just become a work-from-home economy, so I think offering your insights into how to make that successful and secure will be really invaluable.
Yeah, I think the other thing about it is that there is a people element in this which everybody seems to have forgotten, and that is that people are quite naturally social animals. Mm-hmm. And so to tell them that they can't socialize is, if you try to do that for a long period of time, has a huge impact.
And how big of an adjustment is that going to be for companies that haven't been thinking about their employees' emotional well-being and emotional health in such a direct way? Do you think they'll be able to shift into that kind of thinking?
I think that it's going to go through different phases. I think that's the reality of it. I think that it's going to start at the moment, which is where we're at with the technical phase. So do we have the right equipment? You know, have we given enough laptops or whatever it is out to staff? Are they able to access the systems? Should we be putting in a virtual private network? Should we be doing something else? So all of that technical stuff is, I think, where we're at the moment. Then I think within a very short period of time, people will start to move into the productivity phase. And I think then we'll get to some of the people issues after that. So I don't think we're at the people stage yet, which I think actually is a mistake.
I think the
people piece comes first.
So if people wanted to recalibrate and put their people first, starting with that emotional health component is really key. So what would you have leaders do differently rather than focus entirely on the technology right now?
I think you have to understand the environment that you're putting people into. So we're asking people to do things that for very many they have never done before. And I think that there is all too often something of an assumption that we're all used to working from home or remotely because we have mobile phones and all of that kind of thing. And the reality is very different. If you think about an office environment, your day to day is interrupt driven. You may have a number of meetings that you go to, but for a lot of people, it's all about social interaction. It is that interrupt based environment. You then put people out into their homes and there is an expectation that they're going to deliver to the same level, I think, by a number of organizations, because how hard can it be? You simply change the location, right? Mm-hmm. And provided they can access the systems, then off they go. And so I do think it's about understanding how you combat the remote element, how you provide advice and guidance to people about what they should be doing, how they should be working. You know, you shouldn't be online all day. I personally think that we need to see a move back to the old days of batch working on the internet, so because that breaks the day up for you. You know, if you're constantly online, you're constantly going to be doing a number of different things, and that means that you're not getting the interrupts that you do in your normal office environment, and so your concentration level will lapse very, very quickly, and your productivity will fall. So it's all about breaking up the day and I think recreating an environment that you're comfortable with at the individual level that has those interrupts. So you may want to make a few phone calls, for instance, in the course of things. If you're using something like Teams, you probably want to make sure that your camera is turned on so that you're actually seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, we're starting to get into some areas here that go counter to perhaps some of the security advice that we've traditionally given. You know, don't use your camera, you know, make sure that people can't access the camera, all that sort of thing. And here I am saying you should actually turn it on and you should be using it very much more readily than perhaps you might otherwise do. And it's simple things like, you know, building in a break for coffee, for lunch. If you happen to be lucky enough to live in a country that still allows you to go outside, go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't all about the laptop, the screen, and those are just some of the people things.
Right. I think we've all been, all or many of us, have been on screen constantly pre-pandemic, and it wasn't good for us before. So even more now, when there's a lot of pressure, so much uncertainty, having real intentional boundaries with the screen will be really important. And I think it's also going to be key for leaders to model that behavior, to not set the expectation that their employees will suddenly have moved into a, you know, an 18-hour workday because they're just constantly wired. What will you do to communicate with your own team about the best practices, or how will you stay in touch with your workforce?
From an HR perspective, our HR director has sent out guidelines on along the lines of that I've just been talking about. We have made sure that people have the right environment at home, so they've got the right equipment, which is hugely important. We've also made sure that there are ways in which they can remain in contact with their teams. So team leaders, for instance, organizing regular check-in calls. And, you know, technology is great from that point of view. You can use Teams, you can use Skype, you can use a variety of other different things. Mm-hmm. But it's about building those in. And then it's about having, again, regular team meetings where people get the opportunity to talk about some of the challenges that they're facing with regard to working from home, not about the business. Mm-hmm. We know how to deal with business issues, but everybody knows how to do that. But some people will certainly be concerned about their ability to work effectively. Imagine you're living in a small flat with your partner, perhaps you've got some children, perhaps schools are being closed. How can you find space? How can you find time to actually work? What are the sorts of, those are the realities that right. we're having to deal with at the moment.
Right. And there are many people, I think, in the position of not only caring for their children, but caring for their parents. And that's because of the age that this pandemic hit so hard, that may become even more labor intensive. You and I have talked in the past so often about trust and about the need for and the reluctance to be vulnerable. Sometimes in our business, we're so committed to appearing unflappable, you know, calm, confident. And obviously, we need calm confidence. But you just pointed on being honest about an emotional experience of this challenging time. And it sounds to me like that's actually an opportunity to deepen the trust and deepen the relationship on a team within an organization. Do you think that's true?
I think that one of the positives that many organizations, many teams will experience after going through this is that they will be a much more closely knit group coming out the other side. Some people won't, because they won't have been able to adapt. But I think that those organizations that do emerge successfully from it will have done a number of things. I would think they will have broken down groups of people into teams that regularly interface with each other. So they're building trust across teams so that they're able to talk about some of the challenges that they're facing. I think that strong leaders will have recognized that they need to let go of the reins. They need to trust all of their people to do the right thing. That may mean that one day they spend hardly any time at work because something else has happened that they need to attend to.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, that will be very difficult as well. And I think the other thing is that as a leader, you know, I recognize that I'm not going to make the right decisions all the time. Hmm. We're in an environment that is completely unprecedented. You know, I've seen swine flu, I've seen SARS, I've seen MERS, I've seen bird flu. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And so all of the business continuity planning, even though it was based around precedent, needs adapting when you move into an unprecedented environment, an unprecedented situation that changes so very, very rapidly. And I think that's one of the big challenges for everybody is the speed of change.
It is mind-boggling that things are changing not by the day, but even by the hour. It can be a little overwhelming, but the ISF has offered some tips for how to make this very rapid shift into home working. We've talked a bit about choosing the right environment, which I think is very important. Is there anything else that you want to add about what the right environment for homework might look like?
I think the right environment for homework is whatever is right for you as an individual. So I'm not going to get judgmental about people who like to do their home working at the kitchen table, for instance, or, you know, versus somebody who has the luxury of having a specific home office that they can use. The reality is that different people have different setups in their homes, and they're going to make the best of it, and they're going to come up with whatever works best for them. So the important thing is that the individual chooses the right environment and sticks with that environment. So, you know, do use the same room or the same location, because you'll get used to it, and you'll be able to improve that little environment that you're in day by day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only thing I'd say about the environment.
There's also password hygiene, I think, that's important. Homeworking employees are going to be suddenly across Wi-Fi very broadly. So what can we do to protect that connection?
Yeah, I think it's, and you and I have talked, you know, at some length in the past about people having to change things like default passwords on the home router. Some people may not know how to do that. So again, this is about, do they know who to ask? So from a business standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, we need to be communicating with people. Some of those basics. You know, I actually see this as a huge opportunity for security, because security is able in this environment to be helpful, to be useful. Hmm. It's not preventing people doing things. It's providing real actionable solutions to people where they have a need. And perhaps people haven't really seen it that way before. So I see this as a big opportunity. So it is about protecting Wi-Fi. It is about being sensible about passwords. You are going to want to change some of those. I think as well, you're going to want to keep your home life and your work life very separate. You know, it's hugely important that at a certain point in the day, whatever time that is, that you actually shut down, mm-hmm. that you stop the work piece. If you happen to be using a work laptop or a work computer, that's great. You just close it down, you move away, you disconnect it, put it in the cupboard or whatever it is, and move on. Mm-hmm. If you're working off a shared home device, again, just close down all of the work stuff. Don't leave it open in case an email comes in. Shut it all down and put it to one side, because this, unfortunately, is not a short-term thing.
Right.
You know, it is going to go on. And we have a really low boredom threshold because people are very social animals and they like to interact with each other. And it's not natural to be doing what we're now asking people to do.
Right.
So I think those are some of the things there. Another really important thing is do create separation with things like your personal accounts on social networks, on email systems. Don't have them all open at the same time. If you're going to be doing work, do work. Then take a break. Mm-hmm. Go and check some of your social networks. Do it on your phone. Do it on a different device. And that's your downtime, as you would if you were in the office. You know, you're going to make yourself a coffee or tea or whatever it happens to be. Build those things in.
Is that separation all about the focus and the concentration, or is there also a security benefit to not having all of those spaces open at once?
There's a sanity issue, certainly, I think.
Sanity for security. I got you.
Sanity security is definitely where we want to keep it.
Yeah.
From a security standpoint, of course, if you've got multiple screens open on your device, you know, a really simple example, you know, you're perhaps writing an email, you switch across to chat, and suddenly you get mixed up. And before you know it, you're sending personal information or personal narrative to a work environment and maybe vice versa. So you need to keep your environment clean and clear. And of course, there's nobody, because you're not working in an office now, there's nobody to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. And so, you know, you may have got the remains of a Danish pastry all over your laptop keyboard. Who knows? Or if you're a smoker, you know, all of these sorts of things.
Right.
So people don't get to see it. So there's an element as well of self-policing that people are going to need to get used to.
I think it goes without saying, but we'll reiterate that we shouldn't be opening suspicious content, that we should be very aware of hoax messaging, which I assume will be proliferating.
Yeah, it's a sad one. It really is. There has been a significant increase in scam messages, emails. We've seen ransomware being launched at hospitals. You know, the reality is that the period we're in now is a huge opportunity for the cyber criminal, both the opportunist and the more professional criminal. It's sad, but it's the reality. So I think that we all do need to be very much more vigilant. There is no shortage of information out there on COVID-19. If somebody is sending you an email with an attachment asking you to click on it to get some, you know, the latest insight, it probably is an attempt at a scam or a phishing email. Don't click on it. If you're really worried about it, well, maybe make a phone call, message somebody via another means, go and take a look, ask somebody else whether they've received it. You know, I think the key to all of this as well is trying to recreate your own virtual office environment. So what would you normally do if that happened? You'd probably turn to a colleague and say, hey, look at this. What do you think?
Right.
So pick up the phone a colleague and say, hey, I've just got this email. What do you think?
Right.
So the fact you're working on your own, in your own house, for instance, doesn't mean that you lose all contact with the people that you normally work with in an office. And that's a really fundamental piece, I think, for people to remember. They may be on their own in the room, but they're virtually not on their own. And there are so many different means of communicating, and we just need to do that very much more often.
You know, I've worked from home. I've been self-employed for well over a decade, 13 years plus. And I will say that being gentle with oneself is very key, because when I started out, I thought that I could work a productive 8-hour day with absolute focus and be an amazing home worker. But it took some time to adjust to that new lifestyle. And I found that a good amount of time was not necessarily the same amount of time I might spend in an office, but it was I had to find ways to be focused and bring quality to my work, sometimes in that transition more than quantity. So I offer that to people who are making the shift, because it's not easy. But I do like that you're saying we need each other now more than ever, and there are ways to be in touch now more than ever, and to collaborate and support each other while we're making this transition.
I think that's right. And I think that the other thing to really bear in mind, Tavia, is that nobody has all the answers. You know, there will be challenges. Some of them will be of a technical nature. You know, you can't access something, or the infrastructure isn't working the way that it might. I was on a webcast just this morning where the infrastructure wasn't at its best, but everybody recognized that it wasn't an individual. You know, it was the fact that there was a lot of traffic that was flowing across the infrastructure. It was being stressed, and that was one of the byproducts. So I think that, again, perhaps almost paradoxically or counterintuitively, people are becoming also a little bit more tolerant, because if that had been the case just a few weeks ago, people would have said, you know what, this isn't working for me. Let's just cut it. Let's just move on and go and do something different. But we all stuck with it and got some real, real solid value out of that. So I think that there is an element of tolerance that's coming in as well, which is nice to see.
It is. It is. Well, I'm glad that you and I will continue our conversations without interruption, and that we have upcoming great interviews as well. So it's a new experience to not be right across the desk from you, but we're right across the ocean. So it's virtually the same.
That's right, virtually then.
So we'll come back with more advice and leadership from ISF, and in the meantime, I wish you and your loved ones well and peaceful, productive working that grows under these challenging circumstances, and good health.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. That concludes today's episode, our first ever remote recording and our first pandemic-centered conversation. Our intention is to stay with you throughout this surreal and challenging time, bringing you valuable conversations and high-level interviews about security best practices and how that intersects with human psychology. I think what will become absolutely clear in the coming months is that security and human behavior, social connection, and trust go hand in hand. We'll be back soon with another discussion from the ISF. In the meantime, if you enjoy this podcast, please share it in your networks. Be sure to visit securityforum.org to join the conversation on our LinkedIn group, to access the show notes and download ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance around security best practices. Wishing you, your loved ones, and your communities peace, good health, and safety. We'll be back soon.